You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms, while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Let's take a moment to talk about today's episode sponsor, Jane, a practice management software and EHR I use to help keep things running smoothly behind the scenes. When I first started looking for a practice management tool, I wanted something that felt like a partner in my practice, not just more tech to figure out, which is why I switched to Jane. One of the things I love most about Jane, their support team. I've used other EHR systems before, and Jane's customer service is truly like none other. You get unlimited help from real humans, even on Saturdays, by phone, email, or chat, all at no extra cost. It's easy to learn about Jane in your own time, too. Jane's guides are packed with helpful tips and updates, and it's always growing. And maybe best of all, Jane has a wonderful community of practitioners, so even if you're running a solo practice, you don't have to feel like you're doing it alone. If you're curious about what Jane can do for your practice, use the link in the show notes to book a free demo. And if you're ready to get started, be sure to use my code ASHLEY1MO for a 1 month grace period on your new account. Welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you're kind of talking about something that you just assume is just common knowledge or everybody understands or like, you know, again, it just seems like a basic thing. And then as you're talking with somebody, you're like, oh, well, maybe this isn't just a basic thing. Maybe like everybody doesn't know this, or this is something that I used to struggle with and now I don't. I think that that is really common when it comes to business and when it comes to our practices, because depending on where we are in that process, we may be doing things that feel like, well, this is just normal, right? Like this just feels like this is how we do this. But once we talk to somebody who might be at a different phase of building their practice, or they've been in practice longer than us, or they have been using a type of treatment model that we are just getting used to, you know, those kinds of things, we realize like, oh, like, no, this isn't just common knowledge, right? As I've been working with a lot of my coaching clients who are in the process of either starting their practices or have just started, I've been having a really familiar conversation with many of them around that first session. And it was one of these things that as I've been talking with them, I'm like, oh, okay, like there is some work for us to be doing around here. And it's not just like, oh yeah, you just have your first session. And so I thought that this would be just kind of a perfect episode for this week's podcast to kind of talk about like, what does that first session look like in your practice or really with a new client? This doesn't have to be like that first session for the first time ever in your practice, but what does that first session with a new client look like? Because the truth is, whether you are seeing clients for the very first time or you've been in practice for years, sometimes we need to shake things up, or sometimes we need to rethink how we're doing things. We need to ask, like, is there something I can be shifting or changing, or is there a way to be doing this better? I remember when I first started my practice in 2015, I had one other friend who was in private practice at the time. And leading up to that first session with my first client, and then even like for a few months afterwards, anytime I had that first appointment or the first few appointments, I would message her and be like, oh my gosh, I'm like panicking. What am I doing? And I had been in this work for a while, right? Like, I mean, I had been out on crisis calls with people who were thinking of harming themselves. I had dealt with children who had experienced community violence and stuff. Like, it's not like I hadn't dealt with really, really tough things, but it was this new area for me. And I remember just like sweating during those first few sessions, because there is this sense of like, am I doing this right? What am I supposed to be covering? Did I cover too much? Is there, you know, did I not get to everything? So I think it's important for us to remember, like, there's definitely not necessarily like one specific way to do your first session. And it definitely doesn't have to be perfect. How I kind of structure and frame my first appointments with new clients is probably not exactly the same as it was when I started my practice back over in 2019. And it's definitely not how it was when I first started out back in 2015. But I want to kind of talk about that process to help give you, a structure that I have found to be helpful in hopes of you being able to kind of take that and create your own familiar structure. Because again, not that every session that you do is going to look exactly the same, but having a structure that you tend to stick with will help you to be able to stay focused and help guide that appointment, whether it's your first one or your 100th one. So I'm going to be kind of talking through exactly how to approach that session and what this looks like in actual kind of real life and how I tend to go through that first session. I think a lot of times we, again, coming out of like community mental health, there may be like very specific protocols that an agency has or that an organization has that we have to follow. And I think there tends to be this idea that the first session is I have to get all of this information, I have to get all of the details so that way I can bill for that first session. And that like I have basically all of the documentation that I could possibly ever need, right? But the first session is not just about gathering information. Really, the first session is about helping to create this framework of what is this therapeutic relationship going to look like, right? It's helping to create safety and clarity for the client because this is something new for them. Like for some people, you are going to be the first therapist or social worker or counselor that they have ever spoken to. So you're helping to set the tone for what does therapy look like and what does that look like to be in a therapeutic relationship with you. So I want you to kind of think about when we are going into that first session, mainly like having kind of three goals. The first is definitely to help our clients kind of feel oriented to our system, oriented to who we are and to just to therapy in general and feeling safe. And the second one would be kind of setting clear expectations and boundaries of what does our work look like. And then the third would be to begin understanding their story, right? Why are they here? Why are they seeking support now? What has led them to here? And I think there has been this idea that definitely was taught to us in grad school and for sure in community mental health and agency work is that like we are supposed to get their entire life story in one session. The truth is, it's not going to happen in one session. I have a pretty extensive intake questionnaire that I have my clients fill out prior to their appointment. And I'm upfront with them, even in the initial phone consultation and in that first session, that most likely we are not going to get through this entire intake questionnaire together today, but that usually we use the first two, sometimes three sessions to really go through it so that I, as the therapist, am getting a better understanding of who they are and what is going on with them, and that I can help them identify those things that maybe we want to focus on in our work together. So one of the things that I think definitely can feel clunky in that first session, and it still does sometimes for me, is walking through like the administrative piece because there's just admin stuff you have to get done in that first session. Using an EHR, like I use Jane, I'm able to send all of my consents and my intake forms and all of that ahead of time. So the client is completing all of that before they get to that first appointment, but I still need to go over and review some of those things, right? So by the time they come to me, they have signed all of these. But I always like to review a few things. So we want to be reviewing the, HIPAA and privacy practices. We want to be reviewing the client's rights. We want to be going over limits of confidentiality. And then also, I tend to go also over my no-show and late cancellation policies. It can feel like these are the things we need to talk about. Here's step one, here's step two. It doesn't have to be like that. The way I usually tend to position it, at the beginning is, we're going to just spend the first, maybe 10 minutes just kind of reviewing a couple of the consents that you signed, because I always just like to make sure that clients understand them and that if you have any other questions about things that was in that paperwork, we can go over it. And so the first thing I always like to remind clients of is that like this is your rights. You have the ability to continue or discontinue therapy at any time. You also have the right to request your records or to know what are in your records. And also the right to say this just isn't working and either I want to find a new therapist or I want to discontinue therapy altogether. And then I also then go into, limits of confidentiality, followed by, my no-show late cancellation policy, reviewing any fees, if there was any paperwork that had not been completed, just, you know, crossing those T's, dotting those I's at this time. We want to keep this very conversational, right? I'm not a big fan of like reading a script per se, but especially when you're starting out, like it can feel intimidating and like I need to remember all of these things and what do I do? I still at the top of my intake paperwork that I'm going through with clients, every session I make a little list of what are the things I need to mention, you know, what are the things I need to go through. So if it would be helpful for you to have a checklist of I need to make sure I cover these specific things before I get into the intake paperwork or into the intake questionnaire, create something like that, right? If that's going to help it feel less overwhelming and daunting for you, that's going to help that space then becomes more fluid for you and the client, and they're going to just feel more comfortable. And that's part of helping to establish that kind of therapeutic relationship and that feeling of safety, right? So, in thinking about what this first session is, right? The first session is not simply just I am providing therapy, but it's creating the container within what does this therapeutic relationship look like? Where are the boundaries? Here's my cancellation policies, right? Here's how you contact me. Here's how you don't contact me, right? It is setting the container, and helping to create the understanding for the client of what this is going to look like as you continue together. Now, I've had some of my coaching clients asking about like, well, is this where we do, you know, the biopsychosocial? Because I'm coming out of community mental health. That's what we do, how we did it. And again, there are a variety of different ways that you can do this. I have found for myself being able to gather as much data ahead of time from the client before we have that first session. One helps, I think, ease the client because they already know a little bit about like what might come up for them in that session, right? They're like, I know I put this on the paperwork. I know you're probably going to ask me about it. And then I think it also creates a little bit less of a heavy lift for you in that session as well, because you already know what is in that questionnaire. And then using that first session to review it together, right? I have created and adapted mine over the years of my practices. I've added things, I've taken things away, but mine is very, very detailed. And I tell clients, like, it may take you up to 20 to 30 minutes to complete just this questionnaire. But what does this help do is helps to create kind of like a system of that first session, because I know which parts of that questionnaire I'm absolutely going to hit first and ask for more detail. And then it also is going to help give me an idea of, okay, they say they're coming because they have this issue going on. But when I look at, say, past family history, I see that there is this other big issue that feels very connected to this presenting issue or presenting problem they're identifying. And we don't have to get to that, but I want to take note of that and at least bring that up and get further clarification. Because again, my job is not to say, this is what you need to work on, this is what you need to do, but here are some things that I see that may be going on that, if you're open to exploring, may help us to address these other things that you're coming to therapy for. So, having a really detailed questionnaire that is getting filled out beforehand and that you can then use in that first session to write additional notes, to type out if you want to in a you know, further biopsychosocial, you can. But it's going to help you have the space really to catch really important details early. There are questions that I have in my questionnaire that I may never get to, but I know, okay, they answered that to that question. And that's just important for me to know because I want to be trauma informed and I know that they have XYZ in their history and they don't need to talk about that. They don't need to process that because they said they've done the work on that already. But I want to make sure I know that so that I am being sensitive around that topic, around that issue. And like I said before, I am very upfront with my clients that it is usually two full sessions to go through because I really want to get a better sense of what this client is going through and asking more detailed questions about things in that intake. And it does create a full like biopsychosocial. And I think it also, I have found, even if the client is like, I'm coming for this specific issue, but we're going through the whole intake questionnaire and I'm asking detailed questions about things that they've answered, I have found that it eases the anxiety for them because they see that like I'm gentle. They see that I am not robotic and be like, tell me about this thing. What about this? Right. But like that I'm asking in a thoughtful way, in a sensitive way. And a lot of times they're like, it just felt good to get that off my chest, or I didn't even realize that that thing was still there. Right. So we're not interrogating them during this, right? But we're helping to kind of guide the conversation, you know, saying like, I noticed that you mentioned, I'll give an example. Like, I noticed that you mentioned that you have, you know, struggled with maintaining relationships and you're feeling really alone and having a hard time, you know, finding a support system. I also noticed that you grew up in a military family that did move around a lot, and you know that you changed schools, you know, 6 times in 8 years. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because what I may get from that may help to inform me of why is this person struggling to build relationships in their day-to-day now, right? So it's helping to, you know, ask these clarifying questions that again, it's not forming this thing that says, now I have this magic wand and everything is fixed after this one session. But how can we create connections and gain more insight into the information so that, again, we may be able to come back after that first or that second session and say, so here are the things that I know you said you wanted to talk about in therapy. I'm also noticing XYZ, or I agree, this feels like a really presenting issue. And I think that this other thing that we both agreed on feels really important to talk about. So we will put that as kind of like a secondary goal that we will get to, right? Don't feel like you have to rush through this simply because if you are billing for insurance, you have to have a diagnosis, right, for that first session. We can use our adjustment disorder, right? And we can gain further clarification into what is going on with our client as we, you know, continue to go through that initial intake form. Going through that, reviewing with that with them is therapeutic work. So just to you know, reassure yourself that if you're feeling like this is taking a long time or you know, is this therapy? It is. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. If you are like a newer therapist, doesn't have to mean that like you're fresh out of grad school, but you are newer into private practice and this is like a different model that you're doing, you may feel kind of pulled in two directions, right? This tension of like, am I being too structured? Am I missing something? Like what if, you know, what if I don't get to this question and I don't have that answered, and then, you know, somebody's going to check to see if that's not answered on the intake questionnaire. Well, listen, if you're working for yourself, you're the person. If you don't care that that question's answered, it doesn't matter, right? Or then even the part of like, should I just let them talk? Am I talking too much? I think to remind yourself that you're holding both this, you know, both and there you are creating structure, that framework, and that you are human, right? You are a presence. You are creating a therapeutic relationship just by being there. So allowing clients to go deeper when something important comes up, right? When you get to that part on the intake form that is about family, and you ask, you know, tell me a little bit about your family life. And even though they gave you one sentence on the intake form, they start like opening up and unpacking. And now you're 30 minutes into the session and you're like, we've gotten to two questions so far, right? So this is where you will feel this out as well, but kind of finding ways to gently guide them back to a structure when needed, where it may be something where there is the ability to pause them and say, hey, like this sounds like a really heavy and an important topic. And I can see just like how hard this must have been. I want us to definitely come back to this, but I want to make sure we have time to get to some of these other things. So is it okay if we kind of come back to this part? And 9 times out of 10, they will say yes. I've never had somebody say no, right? Or you could say, like, again, like this, I see that this is really important, but I want to make sure that we come back to something that you actually mentioned earlier. And I know we are limited on time today, right? So having some of those transitions, practice them, right? Like having some of those in your back pocket of like, okay, if I need to restructure it, or like redirect, what are some of the things that I can say? Just practicing and thinking about like what feels good for you so that it doesn't feel too rigid. And that it's again helping to create that feeling of safety for the client. And that again, you guys are building a therapeutic relationship right from the get-go. So as you're thinking about this first session, I want you to just kind of keep these kind of common mistakes in mind, things to just kind of try to avoid. You are not going to cover every single thing in one session. It's not going to happen. And if you do get through that intake questionnaire, that's great, right? But there are things in there that you're probably going to have to come back to. Another common mistake that I definitely felt like this when I was starting out was is like skipping over reviewing some of those consents, especially the informed consent pieces, because it just feels awkward, right? These are things that we have to do and are so important for our clients to have control, have autonomy, have safety, and to know what their rights are. So again, finding a way to structure that, or kind of outlining that in a way that doesn't feel as awkward for you. But I think that that is so important, and it is easy to just kind of want to avoid that. Another common mistake I see a lot of therapists, starting in private practice making with that first session is like not having it structured at all. As you've heard, like I don't have like I ask this question, then this one, then this one, then this one. My intake paperwork, I jump around on that. But I'm reviewing it before I come into session. And I've used the same intake form for the last 8 years. So I know it pretty well. And I know as I'm reviewing it before the session that I'm highlighting certain things or I'm starring certain things. And I know, okay, they mentioned anxiety over here, but they also mentioned with number of children that they have a newborn. So I definitely want to find out like, where is that anxiety circling? Is it connected to this baby? Right. So having somewhat of a structure in your mind of like, where do you want things to flow if you could choose like how to navigate the intake questionnaire. And then the last mistake I think that is so important is just this thinking that you're behind if you don't finish that intake in one session. I came out of community mental health where like you had to have all of these things done in 60 minutes and it was supposed to be perfect and you were supposed to know everything about this client and like somehow have this therapeutic relationship. That's not going to happen. So if you leave that first session and be like, "Oh, I did this wrong because I don't know all of this stuff," it's okay, right? You can use the next session and even a third session to really go through that information, the documentation, to just make sure that you have everything that you need. You're going to only learn these things through doing, through making mistakes, through figuring out your system. You can plan for it, and I can tell you firsthand, like I can plan out certain sessions and be like, okay, this is the direction I want to go. And then I get into sessions with a new client. I'm like, oh, they really needed to go this other direction. So recognizing that, like, it's not going to be perfect, but the more you do this, you will do it nervously. But the more you do it, the more comfortable you will get, and the more confident you will get in being able to kind of direct and guide the session. So if you've been overthinking your first sessions, if this is one of the things that is like holding you back before like taking the steps forward, I want you to just remind yourself that you're probably doing better than you think, and that this is a learning process, right? What you do in that very, very first session with your very first client is only going to help guide you with your second and your third and so forth, right? Building a private practice is not just about getting clients and filling the caseload, but creating systems and structure and navigating the way that we operate in our practice so that it supports us in our long term. So if you're looking for more support, you know, whether it is like you're getting ready for those first few sessions or, you know, starting to build your practice and you're looking for just some support around that, I'd love to hear from you and I can share with you a little bit more about the work that I do with my clients inside coaching. You can learn more about that or reach out to me in the show notes. And I would love to just kind of start the conversation with you of if you're ready to get this going, what can I do to help support you in building that practice? I want to thank you for being here today, and I look forward to chatting with you again next week. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find this space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisetoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week.